Amen, amen. From the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 5, and verses 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Amen. Proverbs 5, 1 and 2. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We want to talk about, and I heard Pastor Daphne, she was praying about the Proverbs 31 woman. I want to talk about the Proverbs 5 man. The Proverbs 5 man. Now, when we look at the Proverbs 5 man, we see in him, and we are celebrating men today. Amen. If you have a connection with a man any kind of way, put your hands together. Any kind of way. Husband, son, cousin, grandpa, pawpaw, whomever. We are celebrating men today. And we're looking at the Proverbs 5 man. And in it, I see in him one who is always faithful. Now, I saw Brother Landry here earlier when we talk about being faithful. The motto of the United States Marine Corps is Semper Fidelis, always faithful. And that's what the man of God, the one whom God has spoken to, and that person has given his life to the Lord, he is always faithful. Amen. He is faithful vertically, and he's faithful horizontally. He's faithful to God, and he's faithful to all those to whom he interacts. Should have been an amen, brothers. Amen, amen. We have to be faithful to God. What God says, we will do. Amen. In our interactions with our wives, our mothers, our children, we have to be faithful. Amen, amen. Now, faithful is keeping faith, maintaining allegiance. And that allegiance is to someone or to something. And I would hope that as a man of God that we can see ourselves being faithful to our God. We are the instrumentality whereby God is going to save this world. He uses human instrumentality. Amen. We are faithful to the Lord's church. Amen. We support the Lord's church with our presence. Amen. And with our attendance. Because we believe in what the church does. Faithful is also being constant and loyal. Constant and loyal. You say, where do I see all that in there? It's right there. It's in your Bible. Faithful is having or showing a strong sense of duty or responsibility. Faith is being conscientious. Now, when we look at this in the Proverbs 5 man, we're looking at the man that has adhered to what God has said. Now, you say, well, Pastor, fill in the blank. He is not there yet. Well, I would ask you, is he saved? If he's saved, he's going in that direction. And God is working a work in him. Amen. Now, we might not be all that God has ordained for us to be right now. But God is working on us. And when God is finished, we will come forth as pure gold. Amen. Someone that you can be grateful to the Lord for and about. I want us to see in this faithful that the Proverbs 5 man is faithful to the principle of godly uprighteousness. Say that again. Faithful to the principle of godly uprightness. Now please know this, my brothers. It is possible to be morally upright and not be godly. However, you cannot be godly and not be morally upright. So the message is that we are celebrating godly men. Because in godly men, you have men of character, men who are morally upright, men who are adhering to what God says in His Word. Oh, praise His holy name. Now, when I understand that being faithful to God, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Now, when a man says something, his word is his bond. Amen. Don't have to swear I'm going to do it. You just do it. And you do it because it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Now, when I look at the book of Proverbs, in chapter 1, we see what a father says to son in terms of get wisdom. And in Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 2 of the Proverbs, we find the benefit of wisdom. Mm-hmm. The benefit of wisdom. And we know that Proverbs 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." When a man will hear the word of the Lord, amen, whose lives have been set in the way of the Lord, amen, that's a jewel. I was telling the brothers on yesterday, the way to a fair-proof your marriage, number one, you have to understand and appreciate the value of Scripture. Amen. Whatever the Scripture says, that's what we ought to find ourselves doing. Mm-hmm. Chapter 3 of the Proverbs tells us how to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then, as a caveat, lean not unto your own understanding. Can I just throw in verse 6 anyway? But in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And then in chapter 4, we find that there is a father's wise advice. Proverbs 4 and verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, the heart, flows the issues of life. And can I just drop this in? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You watch what he's doing, you can tell what he's thinking. Yeah, watch what he's doing. You can tell what he's thinking. And then in chapter 5, the wise man admonishes this Proverbs 5 man to be careful and avoid immoral women. But when I look at what he tells us in totality in the Scripture, I can understand that to be a godly man, one who is moral and upright, does not exempt you from the things that happen in this world. You know, we would like to believe, and I've got to tell you, for you who have fallen for that evangelistic spiel, come to the Lord and all's going to be perfect. I wish I could tell you that, but that's not true. The Bible tells us all that will live godly. Yeah, they'll suffer persecution. They'll have trouble. But in the midst of our trouble, we know that if God is for us, there is none who can be against us. And if I, you know, there are those who say, well, show me, Pastor. Glad you asked. The book of Job tells us about a man, and Scripture says in Job 1 and 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. One that feared the Lord and eschewed evil. Now, three things that quickly: godly, had integrity, and he was authentic in his relationship with God. But yet, the Bible said he had trouble. And I want all of the men to know that just because you have given your life to the Lord will not exempt you from the things that happen in this world. Amen. As with Job, there are those whose godliness is genuine. Say that again. Just like Job, we've got men in this church whose godliness is genuine, whose moral character is upright, and who, though not sinless, they've kept themselves from great transgression, but nevertheless, they will still suffer. Now, there are those with self-evident theology. I'm enjoying this. There are those with self-evident theology that like to say, as Job's friend said, look at your life. You must have done something. They believe that for all this to happen to you, it must be cause and effect. But if you don't get anything else out of this message, please get this. The relationship between God and man is not exclusive and closed. As with Job, there is a third party. He will intrude in your life. He is not invited. Amen. You're not looking for him. But Jesus described him this way. He said, the thief cometh but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Amen. You didn't invite him in. The God didn't send him. He just walking up and down, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And that's why the Proverbs 5 man stands on the word of God. Because he knows that the evil one is seeking to destroy him. And he knows that there are certain weapons that are effective all the time. You think about a man with the great physical strength of Samson. And unfortunately, he laid his head in the wrong lap. One of the unfortunates is that not only Samson, but we think about the man, in fact, the writer here, who we say one of the wisest men beside Jesus that ever walked this people planet, Solomon. Solomon had how many wives and how many concubines? If he had more than one, he had too many. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is interesting because when we understand as the men of God, we can appreciate marital fidelity. Just like we say, Semper, this is marital fidelity. Always faithful to your wife. I was blessed of God to hear Sister Spurlock talk about Brother Spurlock in his suit, going out there, hanging out, knocking on doors, and doing what needs to be done. That's what a husband does. That's what a husband does. Amen. If your Bibles are open in verse 15 of Proverbs 5, you will find these words. Drink waters out of your own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. I was talking to the brothers about that yesterday, and once somebody chimed up, yeah, because the bill's going to be high if you're drinking out of somebody else's well. Yeah, you got to know the bill's going to be high. Amen, amen. In fact, I told them that I'm reminded of what Johnny Taylor says. It's cheaper to keep her. See, somebody said, Pastor, nobody, Johnny. It's cheaper to keep her. So we kept Odessa for 60 years. Marital fidelity. The wise man says in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now I want all the brothers that's married, repeat after me. I have found a wife who is a good thing. So far, I am obtaining favor of the Lord. Now she's good so far, but so far, up to this point, I am receiving favor of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You see, if you don't deal righteously in your relationship with your wife, your prayers are hindered. I didn't know y'all could get all this, did you? But see, that's what the brothers are. That's why we're celebrating them, because they are the Proverbs 5 man. Amen. And then, and I want to read this from the New Living Translation in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 9. It says, live happily, underline happily, live happily with the woman you love through all the meaningless days of life. The wife that God gives you is your reward for all your earthly toil. So now, brothers, look at your wife when you get home and say, oh, thank you for this blessing. Hallelujah. Now, number one, we ask that you would consider that when you go through life, there will be obstacles. We understand that. Number two, that you would also understand marital fidelity. But number three, that you would be faithful to teach what you were taught. Say that again. Be faithful, in other words, to your children, to your sons. Teach them what you were taught. You know, one of the unfortunate is that we fail to realize that our sons are going to marry somebody's daughter. Now, y'all don't want to hear. Our sons will marry somebody's daughter. And you do not want them to marry a booger bear. Be faithful to teach what you were taught. You see, it is through the word of God that the lives of men are made better, but don't let it stop with you. Ensure that you have deposited this word into your son, and they can deposit it into their sons, that the people of God will all who God wants us to be. Leviticus 10 and verse 11, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Deuteronomy 11 and 19, teach them to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are away, when you're on a journey, when you're lying down, when you're getting up. Teach them the things of God. Hallelujah. When we teach them the things of God, generation after generation will be a godly generation. Amen. We have too many lost folk who need to know about the Word of God, and they need to get it from the men of God. Praise God that we have godly men at Friendship who can stand and tell young men, the life that I live, I can ask you to do that because I have lived it and I find there's a blessing in living for the Lord. Amen. But now let me just drop this in. Because if there was no heaven, if there were no streets paved with gold, if there was no walls of jasper, gates of pearl, if you have followed the teachings of the Lord, you will not have lost anything. Amen. Somebody didn't get that. Yes, amen. Because you would have lived a better life. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, and strong drinks are raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Amen. I know that now we're talking about the opiate problem, but you see, alcohol is still the granddaddy of all the drugs. If we had dealt with this when it was just alcohol, we would not be confronted with what we're dealing with now. But I'm glad that we serve a God who says, I can take away the taste from anything. Amen. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. He knows how to cause you not to have that craving. Now, when we talk about teaching it to your children, listen to what God said, and he had reference to Abraham. Amen. This is found in Genesis 18 and verse number 19. He said, I have singled him out, talking about Abraham, so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord and to do what is right and just. Then I will do for him all that I have promised. And that's what God will do. When we stand where God has ordained for us to stand, he will keep all the promises that he has made unto us. And I got to tell you, my brothers, that God said we are the head and not the tail. We are blessed going in and we are blessed coming out. Amen. It is not unusual for the people of God to look good without trying to get into a prosperity message. Amen. That's your right because God wants to bless you. 3 John, 2nd verse, beloved, how good. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God wants you to be blessed. But let's look at the text. The Bible says that as he speaks to the Proverbs 5 man, he begins by telling him, amen, that if you find yourself trying to be a ladies man, that there are problems in your life. He says to them, your life will not be well. He says, what you have, strangers will have it from you. Verse 10, amen. Well, let's go back a little further. Verse 9, lest I give honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. Think about what he's saying. When you find yourself being a playboy, amen, somebody's going to be driving that car that you pride so highly, that house that you say is so great, amen, that you just find great pleasure in when you drive up and you hit the button, the gate opens. Somebody else is going to drive in, hit the button, and the gate's going to open, but it's not going to be for you. It's in your Bible. Yeah. And he said, what's even worse than that, he says that when you're a playboy, there's always the danger, verse number 11, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Amen, amen. You will find yourself susceptible to diseases and pain that you would not get if you live right. Then he says, the sorrow of it all is when you recognize it too late. Look at what he says, verse 12. And say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Oh, if I had but listened, life would be so much better. But I come to thank you today, Lord, for men at Friendship who are Proverbs 5 men. Men that have decided that their example is not found in the way of the world, but it is found in the way of the Lord. Amen. When we talk about a Proverbs 5 man, we look at a man who Paul writes about in Ephesians chapter number 5 when he says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loves the church and has given himself for it. When a husband loves his wife the same way Christ loved the church, how much did Christ love the church? Enough to give his life for the church. Well, the Bible is not calling for you to give your life. Christ has already given his life. What he wants you to do is to live, amen, what you preach and teach about. I'm thanking God for men who are godly men at Friendship who will live out what they teach. You know, one of the things that becomes a real problem is if I teach it but I don't do it. I tell you how wonderful it is to do all of these things, and I'm not doing it. Well, the problem is, if it's so good for you to tell me, then I think you ought to be proud doing it as well. Amen. The Bible tells us of the best example that any man can have, and that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he went about doing good. Amen. Whatever was needful, he was able to provide what somebody needed. Have I got a witness? And I don't know about you, but I thank God for men who are willing to give of themselves their time, their talent, their financial wherewithal to ensure that the kingdom of God is advanced. Nobody but Proverbs 5 men will do that. They're not so concerned about, amen, being at like the Marines where they have their own advanced publicity workers. Amen, amen. When they go run aboard, they go on the beach. They make sure they've already got the photographers there. They keep them storming the shore. Well, the man of God don't need to have all that publicity. The publicity belongs to him. If we realize that God deals with glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Many of us want to take from him what belongs to him. We want to take it unto ourselves. But I stop by to tell you, God has given us the perfect example in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went about doing good, and the Bible says he showed us how a husband ought to be. And then in Ephesians 6, he shows us how a father ought to be. He teaches the father, amen, not to stress the children out. You know, sometimes we try to make many us's, little mini me's out of our children. Amen. We didn't do it, but so we want to live vicariously through our children. Let your children grow up in the fear and admonition of the God of the Lord, but let them move toward the way the Lord has wired them, that they might be all that God would have them to be. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, you're not letting us raise them. Yes, I am.
Amen. You teach them what thus saith the Lord. You give them an example of what a Christian ought to be, and they will know how to live for him. Amen. Now, it's not enough, amen, to talk this business, but the Bible said you got to show in your lifestyle. And I'm glad to tell you that Jesus, the matchless Lamb of God, he showed us what a real man is. Have I got a witness? For the Bible said it was on a Friday that he took a cross and went up a hill called Golgotha. Don't you know that he had the power to call a legion of angels down and they would have defended him, but he opened not his mouth. Amen. He was here for a purpose. And I stop by to tell you that every Proverbs 5 man has a purpose. And he realized that that purpose is the advancement of the kingdom of God. If I can show through my living what God is all about, then my living is not in vain. Too many of us are worried about what's in it for me. Well, I don't have to worry about that. God has already prepared a place for me. Have I got a witness? I'm so glad that there is a place where the wicked will cease from troubling and the weary will be at rest. Oh, down here we go through stuff. But I serve a God who says, don't worry about it. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Look at Jesus. The Bible said with a cross on his shoulder, he went up a hill called Golgotha. He allowed them to nail his hands. He allowed them to put rivets in his feet. Don't you know, at any moment he could have called a legion of angels down and they would have smote those that were afflicting pain on him. But because of the love that he had for us, somebody need to see this today. The Bible said he let them do it. All the time he's preparing a place for us. Have I got a witness? When they nailed his hand and riveted his feet, he was not thinking about the pain that was so excruciating, but rather he was thinking about a lost generation. He was thinking about Amos. And I'm so glad that every Proverbs 5 man, when he gets up every morning, go ahead and preach, Pastor. When he gets up every morning and goes to work, even if he's got sniffles, amen, he gets a Kleenex, blows his nose, and go on to work because he's got a family at the house. Amen. You see, the Proverbs 5 man realizes just more than him. Have I got a witness? That if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, but you say, but Brother Pastor, his wife has a job. Yeah, but she works to enhance. Amen. But the responsibility still belongs to the priest of the house. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that there's the priest of the house. And even as Jesus tolerated them nailing his hands and riveted his feet, and he gave a perfect example of how a man ought to endure for those who love. Have I got a witness? For the Bible said that he loved us so much till he went to Calvary. They nailed his hands and riveted his feet, stretched him wide, and they dropped him low. He died for our sins, but the Bible said he got up for our justification. Aren't you glad that death couldn't hold him? Have I got a witness? He's greater power than death. And the Bible said when he got up, he said, all power is in my hand. And I'm glad to tell you that because of his power, you also have power. Because when he went to glory, thank you, Holy Ghost. The Bible said he touched the third person of the Trinity and told him, it's your time now. You go down and you indwell all of the men that they may carry out the mandates that I have set. Don't you know that without the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. Every time you stand and stand for the Master, it's the Holy Ghost. You see, some of us believe, go ahead, Pastor, we believe that all the Holy Ghost does is make us feel good, but the Holy Ghost, he leads us in all ways of truth. He guides us as we sojourn here. But when I talk about the Holy Ghost, he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I am his own. when it seems like I can't make it. The Holy Ghost said, hold on a little while longer. Have I got a witness? The Holy Ghost will keep you. Lord, have mercy. And then you see the Holy Ghost. Can I go ahead and tell it, Brother Alvin? The Holy Ghost, when you're looking at the wrong thing and saying the wrong thing, the Holy Ghost will give you a pop-up message. Warning, warning, you're looking at the wrong thing. Warning, you're talking to the wrong person. The Holy Ghost leads us, guides us, infuses us. But I'm so glad that the Holy Ghost infuses the men of friendship. I stopped by to tell you, men, thank you. Thank you for your lives. Thank you for what you do. Yes, we need the Holy Ghost. Have I got a witness here? But when I think about what the Lord did, when he sent the Holy Ghost, he would guide us into all truth. Not what I want, but what he wants. In my family, but it's not my way or the highway. It's God's way. And when it's God's way, everything is all right. How do I know it? Jesus said it. Have I got a witness here? But as I come to a close, I think about a Proverbs 5 man. Jesus is my Proverbs 5 man. He showed us what a real man is. Have I got a witness? And the Bible says that if we that are like him, thank you, Holy Ghost, he put it in his word that any man that does not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. The only thing that could draw us back to God was the life of his son. He gave it freely for our sins, but he got up for our justification. He made it possible that we could walk in righteousness. As I come to a close, friendship men, keep your head up, your back straight. Walk with a confidence that comes from on high. Know that in your own knowing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. 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 You have some Proverbs 5 men, and you ought to celebrate them. Isn't it amazing that we don't miss our water till the well runs dry? If you got a good man, you ought to say thank you every now and then. Oh, come on here. One thing I've learned, every now and then, you got to know how to massage on their back. Have I got a witness? When he comes in, head bowed down, you got to make him feel good. A little rub here, and then I appreciate you. Have I got a witness? There are too many of us that have a good thing, and we don't appreciate it. Have I got a witness? But I stopped by to tell you, appreciate what God has given you. Have I got a witness? For every good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. So when you got a good man, you ought to say thank you. Yeah. We got some ladies that are demanding without being thankful. Amen. I know you want him to be all that he can be, but be thankful for what he's got right now. Amen. And God is fashioning. Amen. Amen. God's not finished with him. Amen. Well, let me see, Len. I'm done. See. Let me see. Let me call upon one of my authorities in matters like this. Amen. Joe Tech says that if you don't want him and you kick him out, somebody else will have him before you count to three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't see the jewel. But somebody else says. We shall extend the privilege to the church. Today is the day of salvation.